How y'all doing? Did y'all enjoy the worship tonight?
Yeah.
Very good, very good, very good. Last week I told you I was going to make an announcement. If you weren't here, I told you I was going to make an announcement. I got saved in 1984, and shortly after that I started a Bible study in my house with some teenagers, some Filipino kids in Rancho Penasquitos. We got some flips in the house. What's up? Kamusta ka? Mabuti. If you say hello and how are you in Tagalog, you say kamusta ka. And then if you say I'm doing fine, you say mabuti. For real, it's called mabuti. Mabuti, mabuti. So anyway, that was in 1984. I got saved 29 years ago. A couple years later, I went into full-time ministry as youth pastor. Did that somewhat for 13 years. In that time, I started a youth evangelistic organization. We did youth crusades for several years, mostly in the U.S., some outside the U.S., in Canada, Africa. We started the church in 2000, 13 years ago, and it's been 29 years of straight ministry, and it has taken a toll on our family. My wife and I are doing fine, but we're just tired. So this summer, I'm going to take 3 months off from ministry here to focus on my family, focus on God. I'm going to be spending time with my family, spending time with God. I'm probably going to spend a little time in some Latin country learning some Spanish. No English for a week or two or whatever. But I'm not going to be here. And we have some amazing speakers that we have lined up and are lining up. We'll have Hillsong do worship here on one weekend. Hopefully their pastor will come with them. Amen. Nick Vujovic will be here one Sunday. I don't know if you've ever heard of Christine Kane, who Trout. She's about this tall. She's going to rock your world. And then we have some other speakers that will line up. But we've been preparing for this for about 5 months, 6 months. And our plan is that the church would just continue to grow and continue to explode during that time. We're very excited about it. And I appreciate you praying for our family so we can get some good rest that we need and focus we need. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. I'm going to tell you that. Amen. We have a starting a new series today called God in the Mirror, based on my book called God in the Mirror. And it's not working? You see this robot here? It's supposed to be coming over here. Come, robot, come. There we go. That's what I like. Good. Try it one more time. There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you, brothers. Bye-bye, robot. Amen. So before I tell you about the book, let me tell you about this robot. The Rock Academy, our school here, has a robotics team, and they can stand up. I want to tell you about what they did. Before you clap for them, before you clap, you're going to need to tell you what's going on. There are 2,500 teams around the world that competed to be in the World Championship, which is next week in St. Louis. Out of those 2,500 teams, 124 were picked to go to the World Championship. Out of 124, four Southern California, one from San Diego, right there. These brothers right there. Amen. So we want to pray for them. They're going to go there to St. Louis next week and compete against 124 teams. High Tech High actually also is going to the championship, where they're in a different class than our school, so they just have a different section. But our team made it from all around the world, and we're going to hope you guys go over there and take it. Amen? Let's pray for them real quick. Lord, thank you so much for our robotics team. We pray that they go to St. Louis and not only have a great experience, we pray that they win, but more than that, that they would display Jesus Christ to those people and that there are kids there from other schools around the world that would want to know what they have that they don't, the other kids don't have, and they can share Christ with them. Thank you for their skills. Thank you for them being here all day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand. They've been here all day. God bless y'all. Been a long day. You guys tired? It's been a long day. Yeah, and all y'all, huh? Has it been a long day? And y'all, imagine y'all just sit there all day. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate y'all being here all day. I love your robot. Next year we'll have a robot that talks. My voice. Okay, hold up. Yeah, just put a little chip in my back and I'll just be the robot. Okay. I wrote a book called God in the Mirror. We had ordered 10,000 books to actually give you. And long story short, they only delivered a quarter of those books, so we ran out this morning. Next week, we'll have the books to give you, and free, by the way. Who's going to give them to you? And so we want you to promote it, but so come back next week. I'm going to preach about this book for the next 6 weeks. This book is based on the series, the very first sermon series we did when we moved into this building 5 years ago. It's based on being made in the image of God. And I'll talk more about it later, but I will tell you, writing a book for me is a lot of brain damage. I'd rather do 10 other things, and God puts it on my heart to write certain things, and I do it. I prefer to write a novel. I actually wrote one novel that no one wanted to publish, so it's sitting in my computer. I think it's amazing. And if at some point, I'm going to publish it myself and give it out, because I think it's an amazing, actually, it's a trilogy. Three stories combined, and it's about a guy who dies and goes to heaven. Okay. And when you go to heaven, this is biblical, when you go to heaven, you are going to stand before God, and he's going to test you by fire. Okay. So this book is about that test, what's going to happen to you before you actually get into heaven. So it's an amazing story, but they didn't like it. But anyway, this book, we hope that you read it, hope you enjoy it. We'll have it for you next week, but we're going to talk about it today. So let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Word. One more time, say word. Word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Yeah. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Romanos chapter 1. Okay. Romans chapter 1. That's how I feel. It's been a long day, girlfriend. Romans chapter 1. Okay. Romans chapter 1. Hey, y'all come see me after. I'm going to tell you something. Romans chapter 1. How y'all doing today? Tired. You're tired. Thanks for hanging, though. That's a long day. There was a couple, a white woman, an African-American man who got married. They had twins. One of the twins was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, and the other, her brother, was a brother. An interracial couple had interracial twins. And even though each parent had a child that didn't look like them, they both expected to see themselves in each of their children. God made us all to be his children. So what does he expect to see when he looks at you? He expects to see himself, God in the mirror, thus the title of the book. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to display the image of God through our life. We go through our life trying to figure out who we are, what we're supposed to look like, how we're supposed to act, and often we copy other people. You say, I want to be like that person, I want to talk like that person, I want to act like that person. Or as a church or organization or family, I want to be like that church, that family, or that business. And God says, I don't know why you're spending so much time preoccupied with trying to be like other people when I did not make you in the image of other people. I didn't make you in the image of culture or celebrities. I made you in my image. So if you really want to know what you're supposed to be like, look at me. So we're going to talk about that over the next 5 weeks. Now, today we're going to start with the very foundational truth that you have to understand. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world. Everyone say creation of the world. Now, You have to decide definitively whether you believe that God created you, created everything, and then he created you out of nothing. Now, some of y'all say, well, didn't things evolve? Isn't it proven that evolution is true? Absolutely not. That's why they call it a theory. As many years they try to prove it, they have to call it a theory because it's basically unscientific. And here's what's unscientific about it. It is completely unscientific for nothing to create anything. It's unscientific. If you had nothing in a glass, that nothing can't produce anything because there's nothing there to produce it. I know it sounds real simple to you. That makes sense. I don't know that any person would say, yeah, nothing can produce anything. You have to start with something. If you say, well, the Big Bang, well, where did the material come to get banged in? Where did it come from? Where did the power come to bang it? All, those are big, big questions that you have to answer that no one has an answer to. And they have all these theories about where it came from, but something had to start the whole process. And when have you ever seen anything organized and beautiful result from an explosion? If you took a bunch of car parts and put it in the garage and blew it up, you're not going to get a Rolls Royce. That's just not going to happen. And by the way, none of you would ever believe that would happen. So why would you believe all the beauty in the universe, much less this earth, much less you, could result from chaos? Matter of fact, ladies, and I pick ladies because y'all usually have longer hair than guys, when you wake up, chaos. I mean, guys too, we just have less chaos because we have less hair. Can I get amen? Can you know what I'm talking about? And you wake up and you just get up, you're like, you look at yourself and go, wow, bam. You apply intelligence, creativity, cosmetic issues to create beauty. Can I get an amen? You never go to bed looking good and wake up looking better. So, God says, ever since I created the world. Yes. By the way, if you are convinced that you evolved and that God did not create things, then you don't have to be accountable to a God who created you. The world does not want to accept a creator, because once the world accepts as a creator, the world accepts as someone to be accountable to. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a science thing. It's a spiritual thing. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there's no God because the fool says in his heart there's no God, not his mind. A heart is, I don't want to accept there's a God. Because once I acknowledge that there's a God, once I acknowledge there's a God who made me, then I have to acknowledge there's a God I have to be accountable to that has a plan for my life. I don't want to do that, so I just evolve. So that means I'm whatever I make my life to be. It's all about me. That is an anti-God mentality. Now, you may say, well, couldn't God use evolution? God created you. Why does he need evolution? He made you. Now, did God make a little one-cell thing that grew into a two-cell thing, that grew into a frog, into a cat, into a gorilla, into you? No, he made a cat. He made a gorilla. He made man. My ancestor's not a monkey. My ancestor's a human, and God made me in his image. Same with you. You have no animal ancestor. Your ancestor is God. You are amazing. You are eternal. You are royal in the eyes of God. You are not an animal. Now, let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood. His invisible attributes. What are his invisible attributes? His creativity. Watch animal shows, Blue Planet, Discovery Channel, and you will see God's amazing creativity. Amazing. How animals communicate. Elephants can hear through their feet.
When you see an elephant lift one leg, he's pressing his other foot into the ground so he can listen to subsonic sound from another elephant through the ground. That's like, who thinks of stuff like that? God. An owl. I was driving down the street one day, and this owl was flying along the street, right along the sidewalk on the other side of the street that I was driving up. And I love all animals, and this animal, when do you ever see an owl? And this owl's just... So I rolled down my window so I can drive next to the owl, you know, across the street, but with the owl, because I just wanted to hang with the owl and just kind of just be in his space. A couple things you need to know about owls. Owls' ears are right here. If you ever notice an owl, it looks like its face is flat because it is. They're like radar, like a dish that you have on your roof for, what do you call it, the satellite dish. And what a satellite dish does, what the owl's face does, it collects sound and funnels the sound right to his ears. Because it hunts at night, it's dark. It has to go by sound for the most part. It was designed that way. And then when it flaps its wings, it's silent. The edge of its wings are frayed like little cotton, like frayed cotton. So when it flaps its wings, the wind goes through its wings silently so you can't hear it. Now, if you ever see a hummingbird, because the flower's not going anywhere, so the flower don't need to sneak up on the flower. But the owl is trying to sneak up on the mouse or whatever it is, so it sounds like this. So I'm driving, and the owl's going up the street. And I'm just driving, you know, driving the speed of the owl, just watching it, just like, you know, just admiring it. The amazing creativity design of God. Then the owl turns and comes at my car. No lie. Not like at me, but he flies right, and I got my window wide open, and I'm like scared thinking this thing's going to go vroom, right at me. And he flew right over my window. I'm like, ah! And I can see his like head cut off because it looked like it's decapitated. God, a jellyfish, 90-something percent water, no brains, no blood, no bones. No brains, no blood, no bones. 90-something percent water. It can't even swim. It just kind of... Ninety-something percent water, no brains, no blood, no bones. Will jack you up. God. God said, if you look at what I made, you will see my intelligence. You will see my power. You will see my creativity, my love. You will see how I organize things, how I make all the plants to breathe out what you breathe in, and how all the plants will breathe in what you breathe out. What a coincidence that nothing did. God. So when God says, when you look at everything I made, by the way, when a baby is born, a human spends 40 weeks in water. 40 weeks. Try to hold your breath for 4 minutes. 40 weeks you're in water like this. You come through the vaginal canal, and when you come through the vaginal canal, the baby ingests good bacteria from the mom. And as the baby squeezes through to come through the vaginal canal, the fluid in the lungs is squeezed out. God. God. Are you telling me that that is all an accident? Here's what God says. God says, when you look at everything I made, which you can never even comprehend, it's so much. Here's what it says, the Bible. Verse 20. Since God created the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That when you study the things that are made, you see the invisible attributes of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that you are without excuse except to say there is a God. So when people die and stand before God and say, God, I never knew, I had no idea. He's going to say, did you ever look at the sunset? You ever look at the grass? You ever look at your own face in the mirror? You ever look at your eye? Do you know anything about science? Anything about everything I made? The stars in the heavens? Do you have any idea how far away they were? You ever have any idea how timely, day in and day out, year after year, the sun comes up at the same time on the same days when it's supposed to, like clockwork? The seasons change right on time. You tell me you didn't notice all that? I saw that, God, and you didn't tell me that after you saw all of that, and by the way, you saw 0.0001% of it, that you didn't think that something intelligent organized that? No, God, I thought it was science. Not good enough excuse. That's not good enough. And I'll give you one simple example. Not one of you listening in here, and some of you have masters and PhDs, not one of you listening in here would ever in a million years believe that this shirt that I have on was made by nothing. Every single one of you is 100% convinced that someone designed and made this shirt. Why? Because this shirt serves a purpose it doesn't have the intelligence to have made for itself. There's no way you would say it. It has a tag, it has buttons, it fits on a body. You say someone made that shirt because it serves a purpose that it doesn't have the intelligence to have given itself. That is called intelligent design. And why would you believe this simple shirt that can't speak, can't walk, can't think, can't do anything, made it, didn't make itself, but yet you would believe things that are alive were made by nothing? That makes no sense. And so God says to you, I hold you in judgment. And now, here's the whole point of this thing I'm telling you about the image of God, that God says, I made everything so that when you looked at it, you saw my invisible attributes. And then, after that, I made man. How much more is man made in my image supposed to display who I am? You and I are his masterpiece. Only you and I did he make in his image. So we're going to talk tonight overview style, but over the next 5 weeks, the five components of our God image. And it spells the word image, I-M-A-G-E. First one, in your notes, the I, is that you and I are individually unique. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, almost the exact middle of the Bible. The exact middle of the Bible is Psalm 118. Psalm 139. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 118 is the middle of the Bible. And Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. But we are now in Psalm 139. Just a little something, something. A little trivia for you. Psalm 139, verse 13, if you're from Australia, 13. 139, verse 13. Look what it says. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everyone say, I am wonderful. Some of you already know that. You woke up this morning and said, I'm wonderful. Say amen if you said that. Five people want to admit it. Yeah, okay. Don't worry. Everyone else thought it. They just didn't want to say it. And then look what it says, verse 14. I will praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it says, marvelous. Marvelous. Okay, has anybody ever here gone to Harvard? Anybody from Harvard? I've asked this question practically all day, and nobody's been to Harvard. Has anyone been to junior college? I want you to act like your name is Hollingsworth, and you are 13-generation Harvard. Yes, all my children go to Harvard. My grandfather went to Harvard. Great-grandfather went to Harvard. So he's what you're saying. Oh, give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Say this. Say Harvard. Very good. There's certain words you're supposed to say a certain way. If you ever go to New York, don't say Manhattan. That's right. Say Manhattan. There's no T's. Manhattan. There you go, Manhattan. I'm from Manhattan. That's right. Yeah. Okay? So when you're from Harvard, you say this, Harvard. One more time, say, I went to Harvard. Now say, I am absolutely marvelous. Oh, come on now, come on now, come on now. You got to get this, you got, because this is muy importante. Say, I am marvelous. You are absolutely, you need to notice. God made you to stand out. Yet we spend all our time trying to fit in. God made you as a very unique, one-of-a-kind expression of His invisible attributes. God gave you a personality, facial expressions, attitude, perspective on life that is unique to you. That when the world sees you, they see God in a way they've never seen Him before. That's why He created you. Now, someone can convince you you're a monkey, that your ancestor was an ape. You can take that, not me. You and I were created to be a son and a daughter of the King. One of a kind. You need to know that. So that's individual. We'll talk all next week. By the way, next week, we're going to talk all next week about how marvelous you are, how unique, one of a kind you are. And by the way, you see this in women more so, well, in some ways you see it in women more so than guys. You ever see a woman? Oh, well, yes. Next time you see a lady, just check out her program. They'll be coordinated. They'll have, sometimes, their nails match their shoes. Or their nails here match their shirt. Then they have a little earring here to match this little color right here. And they got the outfit all, this color jacket will match this little blouse, and they got a little scarf, a little pendant here, and a little belt, and a little design chinky chink right here. And they come out, and they're like, jank, jank, jank. And then when they see you, it's like, and ladies, tell me if I'm right, if you see another female with the same outfit on, oh, no. Why? Because you are an individual. That's from God. Now, what you say in your head when you see the other girl with the same thing on, that ain't from God. Because, you know, and I'm going to speculate that when you see another woman with the same thing on, the first thing comes to your mind is, does she look better than you than you, which she doesn't, of course. You always look better in it than her, but that's another story. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Images, I-M-A-G-E. I is that you are individually unique. We're also going to talk next week about the I am factor that God has given you. He's a great I am. He gave us an I am factor. That's another thing. I am A-G. M means that you and I were created to be God's moral mirror. You and I were created to be God's moral mirror. Morality is a sense of right and wrong. God says, I'm going to create you in such a way that you can not only understand my right and wrong, I'm going to teach it to you, but you can display it. You will hunger for it. It will shape the way you think. You will teach it. You will encourage it. You will live it. You will hunger and thirst for it. Read your Bible to your dog and watch what happens. Nothing. Read your Bible to your fishbowl. Nothing. Read your Bible to your plants. Nothing other than the CO2 coming out of your mouth will help the plant. God's word can be received by you and I. Look what it says in chapter 119, which is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, verse 9. It says, don't look at me, look at your Bible. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. God says, if you want your way cleansed, if you want to have the right, make the right decisions, if you want to have the right friends and be able to treat people the right way and be able to respond the right way when bad things happen, do what the word says. He can't do that with any other animal. Only us. So not only did he create us where we would display his invisible attributes just by our physical presence, he says, I'm going to teach you my mind and my heart, and you're going to be able to interact with my truth and display my truth like nothing else I've ever made. So when bad things happen to you, I will look at you and watch you respond the same way I would respond, Jesus. When people compliment you, I will watch you respond the same way I would respond. When people come to you for help, I'm going to see you respond the same way I would respond, just like I'm looking in the mirror. He created you to be a moral mirror. He did not create you to create your own morality. Listen to the radio, listen to TV, and it's all about what I want, what I believe. That is the foundation of sin. It's all about me. It ain't all about you. It's all about God. It's all about God. The letter A, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the letter A stands for God has given us the authority to rule. Now, when I read this, I want you to see if you could figure out what Adam and Eve were given dominion over and what Adam and Eve were not given dominion over. I'm going to say it again. When we read these couple of verses, I want you to see if you could figure out what God gave Adam and Eve authority over and what God didn't give Adam and Eve authority over. Because it's very important to know where your authority ends. Okay, look what it says. Chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our Father, Son, Holy Spirit image, according to our likeness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and let them, listen, pay attention, let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God gave them authority over the earth, over the animals, but he did not give them authority over people. In other words, when you take authority of a person, and you control a person, that's called slavery. God gave them authority over environments. Fellas, you do not have authority to control your women. All the ladies in the house say, that's right. But ladies, you don't have authority over your man neither. Fellas, can I get an amen? Amen. That's right, that's right, that's right. Just back off, girlfriend. Easy now, honey, honey. You know what I'm saying? They get all huffy and all. Gabriella Reese, y'all know the volleyball player Gabriella Reese? Yes? She was on TV the other day. I don't know how tall she is, but her husband or boyfriend was like basically about the same height. They were on TV. She was talking about that she submits to her husband. TMZ, Extra Extra, one of those shows. And I was waiting for them to start saying, that's old-fashioned, what's she talking about? And, you know, they would say, oh, it's pretty honorable. But what people always forget when they talk about a woman submitting to a husband, by the way, the Bible does teach that. But what people always forget is the verse before that and the verse after that. The verse before that says, submit one to another. And the verse after that says that the husband should love the wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church to show his love? He died. So women, you submit, fellas, you got to die. So I think submitting's a good deal when you're the other guy got to die. But here's the thing. It's not about neither one of you controlling each other. It's about both of you creating an environment where God's purposes are fulfilled. My responsibility here is not to control any of you. I want to control you. I'm trying to take care of myself. But my responsibility and our staff's responsibility is to create an environment in this room and in our ministries where you experience God so you can become what God called and created you to be. So the lights, the videos, the sound, lights, video, sound, the worship, the announcements, the volunteers, the colors, the seats, everything is designed to help you experience God, and then, hey, that's between you and God now. If you're a coach, create an environment with your team where every player can be the best player they can be. If you're a teacher, create an environment in your class so every kid can be the best student and learn the best. In your home, create an environment where everybody grows up to be what God called them to be. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's all God said. So when God looks at our family, when God looks at the church, when God looks at your job, he sees people who are growing into what he called them to be. And he sees them being led as he would lead. That's the authority he gave you. Anything else? It's not from God. You go talk to a marriage counselor, 90-something percent is the man taking too much control. Man taking too much control. Trying to, hey, she do what I say. Submit, submit. Brother, die. You die, she'll submit. She submit, you die. It goes back and forth. Next thing you know, let me tell you something. Most divorces, and by the way, 50% of people get a divorce. How many of y'all in a relationship right now? How many of y'all in a relationship? Raise your hand real high. Okay, how many of you are either in a relationship or you want to be in a relationship? They're like, isn't that, that's everybody, right? Your relationship will not work out if you do not serve the other person. It ain't going to work. Well, let me say this. You may stay together because you just decide we're just going to stay together, but it ain't going to be good. You have to serve the other person. Because most likely you're going to fall in love with someone who's opposite of you. And you ain't going to realize that they're opposite of you until after you get married and you're stuck. And then you're going to wonder why you got married. And then God's going to reveal to you, the reason I had you get married because I wanted you to learn to serve, because the only way you're going to be holy is if you serve. So I didn't have you fall in love and get married so you could be happy first. I made you fall in love so you could be holy. People don't want to hear that. No, I want to be happy all the time. There's no such place. Not even Disneyland, you're not happy. Because if you go there and you spend $500 to spend a day in Disneyland, but by the time you get on the fifth roller coaster, you're mad. So that place ain't even happy. God said, I've only given you authority over environments, and I want you to create an environment that fulfills the purpose I intended it to fulfill. That's the authority you have. Anything past that ain't of me. The letter G. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. The letter G says we are created to be God's friend. This means that we were created to live in relationship. I can't teach this point often enough. God created the birds, the bees, he created the land, the fish, the land animals, the dirt, the heavens, the stars, everything. He created all this stuff. And he said it was good. He said it was very good. But then he created Adam, created man all by himself, and he said, that is not good. It's not good. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 18. It says, it is not good that man be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, when guys read this, they think, there you go. I need a woman. That's not what that means. It means that an individual human cannot fulfill the purpose for which I created humans. And the main reason I created humans is that they could enjoy, God says, that they could enjoy what we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are already enjoying, loving relationship. No, God made people so they would worship him. God was already being worshipped. Why do you have kids? Only people have kids so they can worship them. Yeah, man, I'm going to have three kids so they can worship me all day long. That's not why you have kids. You know why you have kids? So you can love them. And for any of you who have kids, how many of you have kids under a year? How many of you have kids at all, period? You had a kid. Okay? If you can remember when they were born, because you might not feel that way now. When you were born, you loved them like this. And they didn't do anything good. Nothing. They cried and pooped. No, they cried, pooped, and slept. That's it. You love them like this. And they did nothing to earn it. That's how God loves you. And that is the experience of every parent. How is that a coincidence of evolution? No, it's God's design. Because God wanted you to know from day one what it means to for him to love you for no reason. You have never earned God's love and you can never pay him back. And as successful as you may think you are in the world, it means nothing to God. He just loves you because. Because you have more poop in your life than you think. You have diapers that cover your whole world. And you know what God says? He cleans those diapers out every day and he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. God says, I created you to have relationship with each other and display my love one to another, to display my forgiveness one to another, to display my mercy and compassion and empathy and sympathy one to another. That's why I created you. And that you can experience it from me at the same time. And that the love you can give someone else, you can get from me. That's why I created you. That is the foundation of everything. That's the foundation of our whole relationship with God, is our relationship with God. It's not information, not coming to a meeting. It's not singing a song. It's our relationship with God. That's it. That's it. One of the movies in the summer when I'm gone, we're going to do 4 weeks where I'm going to pre-record messages in the context of different movies. So in other words, we're going to have a movie clip, then I'm going to speak, a movie clip, it's all going to be on the screens, so it's going to be like you're at the movies. It's actually, the series is called At the Movies. We're going to do 4 of them. We're going to do Private Ryan, we're going to do Pursuit of Happiness, we're going to do Snow White and the Huntsman, Mirror, Mirror. And we're going to do The Notebook. The reason we're going to do The Notebook, because I went into our office, I said, look, I need a chick flick, and then all these women said, The Notebook, The Notebook. I never heard of it. Hey, it's a chick flick. I don't know. Chick flick, it just kind of, I deprogrammed. So I said, okay, I got to watch it. I watched this movie. First, they started telling me about the movie, and I said, stop. I started crying. Stop. I watched the movie, and I was like this on the couch with my blanket. I'll tell you now, and then I found it's like 10, it's like an old movie. I thought it came out just like last month or something. I had never heard of it. I'll tell you now what I got out of that movie. And I did cry, by the way, like several times. What I learned out of that movie was the most important thing you can do in life is to learn, and it is something you have to learn, how to love somebody. That's all that matters. You can make $1 billion and have nothing. If you have, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, what if you can speak in tongues, you have not love, you have nothing. You could quote the whole Bible, yet you have not love, you have nothing. And I saw in that movie a guy's love for his wife. That was it. His kids were like, why are you taking care of her? I love my wife. That's it. So, I don't want to get too, I'll start crying right now. God created you to learn that. To learn it deep. And then the last one is that we are eternal. Turn to John 3:16. So many people misunderstand God, and they misunderstand his purpose for us. And they confuse religion with God. And they view religion as God. I do some good things, things that I perceive a God should respect, things that I think a God would reward me with heaven, and then I'm good. And then the rest of my life, I do what I want. That has nothing to do with God. That is man-made religion. God says, I created you in my image so I can have a relationship with you and love you, and you could love me back, and we could know each other. We can hang out. I can guide you and speak directly to you throughout your life with everything you're doing. Some of you ladies out there are considering dating a guy, you just starting dating a guy, stop and ask God. For real. God, if this is not the right person, please reveal it to me. Say that to God. Save yourself headache. Fellas, do the same thing. Because you might have a she-devil you're driving home. She may look cute. She may got the wiggle and the jiggle. But, boy, be careful. Don't let your eyes play tricks on you. Just say, God, is this what you want me to do? Should I go to this class? Should I take this job? Should I pursue this career? Ask God. He has nothing but love for you. And he proved that love by sending his son to die for you. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Before I get into eternal life, let me reverse and go back to the beginning. Remember the first letter was I? Say I. It meant individually unique. Say individually unique. And next week, we're going to spend the whole sermon about how individually unique you are. You need to understand how uniquely exquisite you are. You know what only begotten son means? The unique one. For God so loved the world that he gave his unique son, one of a kind. God made you in his image like a glove. Think of a glove with five fingers, I-M-A-G-E. And the glove does nothing until you put the hand in it. The glove just sits on the counter in the closet, and you put a hand in it, and your fingers bring life to the glove. Until the unique one lives inside of you, God's never going to see himself in you as he's always looking in the mirror. He will see himself in you as though he's looking in the mirror when he himself is living in you. The Bible calls that being born again. So your God image is spiritually dead or unable on a spiritual level to please God until the Spirit of God lives in you and makes it alive. You could also view salvation as a complete restoration of your God image. So the Bible says, for God so loved you that he sent his only son to give you life. Abundant life, John 10:10, and eternal life, John 3:16. That he would bring you to life now and give you joy and vision that you don't have now, give you optimism, strength through hard times now, and eternal life then. That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to live inside of you. He wants you to ask him to forgive you. And he wants to have relationship with you. You can't follow God religiously with your mind. It don't work. You'll never be good enough because you don't have anything in you empowering you with the power of God. He wants to live inside of you. It's called salvation. So in a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to say, Lord, live inside of me. Forgive me my sin. Some of you have already done this. Then you have to surrender to him. Lord, I really want to obey you. Because if you don't obey him, if you say, Lord, come into my life, and then you go about doing your own thing, not obeying him, your life ain't going to change. You have to let him lead you. You have to let him guide you. I'm not a big horse rider, even though I think horses are the most majestic animals on the planet. I had a bad experience where my kids, one horse literally ran off with one of my daughters and never came back. My other daughter's saddle slipped off and she was on the ground with a foot in the saddle and the horses were trying to run. That she could have died easily. So I'm scared to be on horses, even though I love horses. But when you're on a good horse, a trained horse, you could just think to go left, lean a little left, and that horse goes left. God wants us to be like that. He wants to say, hey, go left. Yes, sir. Hey, go right. Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, say this. Yes, sir. Hey, pray right now. Yes, sir. Like that. He ain't going to fight with you. Lord, control the glove. Take over my life. That's what he wants. Don't play the game. I'm going to come to the rock, say a word, and me and God are going to be cool. God sees through all of that. And if your life is not blessed, it's because God knows you ain't serious. Can't be fooled. I was talking to this gang member one day, and I was witnessing to him. And I drew this little stick figure of him. Then I drew a little stick figure of his girlfriend. He had a girlfriend. And I said, if your girlfriend said to you she was going to date you 5 days a week, and she was going to date another guy 2 days a week, you go for that? Oh, no, man. No, no. I said, hold on. You're getting 5 days. You're getting more than twice the other guy. What's wrong with that? No, man. I want her every day. I said, that's how God wants with you. God don't want to share you. And God's more important to you, some girl, that you ain't going to be with in 6 months anyway. That's what God says to y'all. He wants all of you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are so patient. You are so patient, knowing everything about us, yet you love us. And as you listen to my voice, you know if you need God. You know if you need to surrender to God. You know that Jesus loves you, that he died for your sin and rose from the dead. And you're ready to receive him. You're ready to submit to him. You're ready to surrender to him. You want to have a relationship with him. So I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. A prayer of surrender. A prayer of confession. A prayer to receive all who God is. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, please forgive me. Dear God, please take over my life. Please carry my burden. Dear God, I ask you to guide my life, to empower my life. I surrender myself to you. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering yourself, your God image, to the Creator God. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet. And by standing, you are saying, Lord, I'm casting my burdens on you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you.